Yes, you're wrong. The podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to episode 300
of our Thursday show. Is that the number?
Yes. Okay. 300 of our Thursday show. And then we have also done 195 pop culture roundup. So really, this is episode 495,
oh my
guess,
gosh.
All things so considered. Beast. So almost to our 500th episode.
You know what? You know what? I am proud of us. I want to take a moment and acknowledge that. I think, you know, we've been doing this for like...
almost seven years, I think.
7 years this summer. And we're still going strong, even career changes and a cross-country move. And a lot of these questions are like, how?
Why are you still doing this?
Yeah.
What is the purpose of this?
Who is paying you to do this? And the answer is no one. We do this for the joy and the thrill of it all. At least I do. I sometimes feel like I'm just... You do this out of pity for me because I don't have any other friends. And if that's true, that's fine. I accept that reason.
No, I think I feel like when we started this podcast, or at least when I started this podcast, it was before I worked in any kind of media.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I worked in book publishing. Like, that's how we met. I don't know if we're going to get a question about that. But we met in working in book publishing, worked at the same agency. It was only for like 9 months, 8 months. Like, we didn't work together that long, actually.
Yeah.
But it was like my first, I guess, like real big person job in New York. So that period of time was very formative, and it felt a lot longer than it did. Like, in my mind, it's like, oh yeah, we worked together for years.
Yeah.
In actuality, we didn't work together that long. But then after you left, we started the podcast, and I was sort of like, oh, like, I need an outlet to talk about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to, you know, try to launch a career in entertainment, maybe. Like, maybe we'll become famous podcasters.
And we did it.
And
number 10,
caller daddy. Sorry, you're in second place now. Yeah. We're in them.
Our
we're
Hulu
one
docuseries is coming soon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just still in the works a little bit. You know, have to figure out.
Call her annoying is what ours is called. But I think that's like, I have not gone back and listened to any of our old podcasts ever, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like once they're released, like, I listen to them when I'm editing them, but once they're released, like, then they're out into the world. Like, I have not gone back. I imagine that we have a more sort of thirsty energy early on.
Yeah.
But I think at some point, at least for me, it was like, okay, I... now I'm get to do things entertainment related for work. I don't feel a real desire to be a famous person necessarily. So I'm not trying to get this to become a massive success. Also, I feel like I realized at some point, like maybe around the third year of us doing this, I was like, wait a second. Like, our podcast actually doesn't really have a hook to it. Like, we are just sort of talking about entertainment, but there's really no reason why anybody would listen to our podcast rather than any other entertainment podcast, except for we're funny.
Yeah.
And nobody else has figured that out, you could do a entertainment but funny.
Yeah.
We're the only ones who are doing that. But I think the thing that makes this worth doing for me is I'm like, oh, like, I am very good friends with Shelby. Mm-hmm. Shelby lives across the country. Mm-hmm. I don't get to see her that often, but this gives me a very good excuse to talk to you every single week for at least an hour. And that is lovely. I'm like, it's basically like if you just like call your mom once a week, mm-hmm, except mm-hmm. for we're recording it and people can listen to it should they be very bored and so choose yeah. to do that.
And a surprising number of you listen. And we don't know who you right. are, which is wild.
Right.
There are strangers no. who consume this and yes. reach out with questions about more.
There are people in Brazil who will just randomly message me and be like, oh, 4 weeks ago on the podcast, you said this. And I'm like, oh, yeah. okay. Like, let's talk about it. So, yeah. I love it. But so, yeah. so that's always fun. But I feel like mostly I'm just doing this as like a, oh, I get to like hang out with you and I enjoy that experience. And this isn't that much extra work mm-hmm, in life mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. I'm like, you know,
yeah.
if I had to, yeah, I don't know. If I had to like, watch a whole TV series every week for this, I'd be like, okay, yeah, maybe we have to let it go. But yeah. it's like most of the stuff I would have watched anyways or yeah. wanted to watch or it's good to watch for work. So I'm sort of like, you know what? Let's keep it up. And at this point, we might as well try to get to 10 years and yeah, 500 yeah. episodes and whatever. Like we've yeah. got milestones to hit.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, I feel like early on, I feel like we have flexibility built in because it's just us shooting the breeze, you know?
Yes.
And so there's really no pressure whatsoever. Absolutely no pressure to
oh, yes.
come in. Like, yes, I like doing it. And I would want to be like, you know, I like having the weekly gab sesh about pop culture. I mean, we didn't even get to talk about Justin Baldoni's suit being thrown out. Like,
oh yes.
It's a fun time for me because, like I said, there's only so many random women I can approach at parks with children. And
right.
it's a slow build to find mm-hmm. people who care about seeing bad movies as much as I do. And so this is a necessary therapeutic hour for me. And I appreciate that mm-hmm. we're sticking to it. And I'll ride this wave as long as I can. Like early on, yeah, I'm better at the promo and the hashtags and the visuals. I recognize I've fallen short this year. I really have. And I want to get better at it again. Just for the joy of a aesthetically pleasing Instagram feed. So that's my goal going into these next 300 episodes. So, yeah, I just wanted to start with that, but we did get a few questions. I mean, more than a few, thankfully.
We got two questions yeah. and then Shelby and I were writing our own questions. Matthew sounds really hot yeah. on the podcast. Would you say you're that attractive in real life? Oh, well, thank you, listener, for asking that. Yes, I would say probably yes. however hot you think I am, I'm more hot yeah. in real life.
Yeah. But to start us off, we got a few of the classics, which honestly surprises me because one, we've been doing this for 7 years. So I feel like who is just starting? You know what I mean? Like how have we right. captured new people?
How are we picking up new fans at this point?
Like I understand people sticking around because hello, it's a joy.
Right. Yes.
But some people wondered how we met and what we do for work, which honestly rattled me to my core because I thought we were well known in this space.
I mean, I will say this. I don't think that I feel like that there are people who know me well who don't know how we met.
Yeah.
And I also think that I don't even like sort of know what you do for work. So it's like, I don't yeah. think this is that crazy of a question to ask.
That's fair.
Yeah. We met because we worked at in a literary agency yeah. together. And you already had the job.
Yeah.
You were an assistant mm-hmm. and yeah. you were looking and they were looking to hire another assistant. Mm-hmm. And I mm-hmm. was an intern at the other agency that you had interned yes. at. So they like forwarded my resume or whatever mm-hmm. onto you. Mm-hmm. And then I came in yeah. and interviewed. And famously, they were looking for a diversity hire.
Hysterical, yeah.
And they were looking for a diversity hire. And I came in and they were like, oh, obviously a gay person. Yeah. That's a good diversity hire. We'll take him. And then so I'm sure weird. We're floored upon how whatever point in time I was like, oh, yes, I am interested in women. And everybody
like,
to
come
their
up like Like, did people sure know you were straight, or was it just assumed? I mean, like, was your coming out a surprise, you know?
I know that I said things over a period of time. Like, I don't think that I necessarily was, like, going in talking, like, because I wasn't dating people or anything. But I think I probably mentioned, like, oh, someday I'll be married to a woman, you know, whatever.
I can't wait for the day.
And to their, and to the credit of every single person at that agency, nobody batted an eye or made me feel weird or uncomfortable. And then when I finally did come out, they were all extremely lovely and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And yes, it was a very, I look back on that period because I worked there for 4 years. And even though, like, I guess, you know, some of the like work related stuff or whatever was, you know, not my favorite, I think it was a very like safe place for me as someone who is not out of the closet yet to be surrounded by all of these new, these like very liberal New York people who were like, we are going to teach you how to be a New Yorker, and we're going to teach you how to be a liberal, and we're going to teach you that it's okay to be gay. And I really feel like I came out of that experience like with a lot of life lessons that I didn't necessarily know that I needed. So Shelby was of course a part of that, because you were, because we were besties for basically the first 9 months that I was just like whispering to each other at our desks,
driving everyone crazy with our definitely not working during work hours. That's how we met, and I was sad to leave, but I kind of assumed moving out of state I would, like, you know, sort of like, oh yeah, coworkers, bye. But I couldn't quit you. I there was a moment where I think we could have lost touch, but then I made the brave and right choice of reaching out to you the next time I was in New York, and we got 7-Eleven Slurpees, and that kind of sealed the deal on our friendship outside of the workplace. And so that was in like 2015, and then we just kept in touch. And then when I started my Taylor Swift podcast, I had this like need to be in front of a mic 24/7, and I wanted to have someone I could talk general pop culture and not just Taylor. And so I pitched the idea of doing a podcast with you. That was another question, is how did we come up with it, and who came up with the the premise, which is not really a premise, as you pointed out. It's just chatty broads, you know. It's just a couple of loose hangs talking about movies because we like movies. And I think it was sort of like we were just brainstorming together kind of how we would do it.
You definitely were the one. I mean, I feel like in our office people would say sometimes like, you guys should have a podcast or whatever, but like, I don't think that I necessarily would have realistically done this, except, and but then you already had like the equipment and sort of knew how to do it, and so we're like, oh okay, so you were definitely the one who came up with the idea for us doing it. And originally we didn't have the pop culture roundup. We sort of had like a big episode where it was like, oh, the first part we talked about news, and then the second part we talked about a movie, and then I don't know, at some point fairly early on, we were like, oh, wait, there's people who only want to listen to the news or only want to listen to the movie section, so we should break those up. But I don't know how we... I'm like, I guess we don't really have a premise. I think we were like, oh, we want to talk about news, and but then we also want to talk about a movie.
So we did it.
So we'll just do both. And that was it.
And that was it. I think the name was sort of... We, especially early on in our friendship, we had very disparate taste. Like, we would disagree about a lot of popular things. I can't think of what, like, an example would be that inspired us, but we would, like, get
Obviously Taylor Swift.
Well, Taylor Swift, but then, like, we just had differing opinions on movies and stuff. And so we're like, oh, well, let's make a podcast where it's kind of like we're always at odds with each other. And so... I think I brainstormed a bunch of different names. You probably did too. And then eventually we just settled on P.S. You're Wrong, which I think in the end benefited us, because there's a huge podcast called You're Wrong About, and we often get tagged on accident as that podcast.
There we go. Maybe that's how we got on that list of top 500 podcasts or whatever. Like, somebody just typed in the wrong username. Yeah, one thing that I feel like has evolved over time, and I really give you all the credit for this, of sort of like figuring out how to finesse. And I think about this with my other friendships. I feel like early on, when we were debating about something or arguing about something, like you were trying to change my mind about whatever it was. And I really like hate having those kinds of discussions where it's like, oh, like one of us has to like, you know, change the other person. Mm. And I much prefer like, okay, you have your opinion, I have my opinion. Like we both like can share the opinions, but we're not necessarily like fighting, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's sort of more like parallel things rather than trying to get the other person over.
Yeah.
And I feel like at a certain point, we really stopped having like fights on the podcast and more of just like swapping ideas and not really trying to impact the other person that much. And then I do have friends who do try to argue with me about like entertainment stuff sometimes. And I'm like, you guys, like, this is so annoying and so frustrating. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to change my mind. If I didn't like this movie, I didn't like this movie. Like, yeah, that is my opinion. And I'm like, why can't you just all be like Shelby? Like, she just knows that my opinions are weird. Yeah. And she's like, I will let that be. I'm not going to try to get involved with that. Like, you can have that bizarre take and I'll allow you to do that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, yeah, there's definitely been some headbutting. But I think generally we've both been good at either leaning into the playfulness of disagreeing with each other's hot takes or just kind of being like, yeah, I mean, it's up to interpretation, you know. You can think The Goldfinch is a good movie, but you're wrong. Like,
well, okay, let's not go right into The Goldfinch
on actually why Civil War is a great film, and I've set aside 20 minutes to finally convince you. No, but yeah,
that you're like, we've gotten 15 questions about Civil War.
But no, that was...
Wait, okay, but I'm like, you're using this to weasel out of answering what you do for work.
Oh, right. Well, my work is so, like, it's the least interesting part of me. Like, I pivoted out of, like, working in what I want, like, with publishing, and I've just sort of been, you know, the breadwinner of the family for a few years.
Ah, yes.
And so I work in executive recruiting. I bore myself talking about it. I don't know. It's a fully remote job. I like the people I work with. It's very something I'm very good at because I'm organized and I'm on top of things and I'm able to juggle a lot of things at once. But it's not necessarily like a point of passion for me, which is also probably why I like having this podcast as sort of a place to channel that creative energy. Because, yeah, my job isn't necessarily anything to write home about. And I think that's okay. I think that's, you know... It's something I've had to come to terms with, where I think a lot of people wrap up their identities or you know, purpose in work. And I think that's really great when you love what you do. And I think that's true for you. And like, I've been able to see you thrive and it's so beautiful. But yeah, I've never been someone who's like, oh, I can't wait to run things one day. Mm-hmm. So I work in recruiting and that's it. Matt, what do you do?
I really like, I wish that my brain operated in that capacity.
Yeah.
Like I am for better or for worse stuck with the Amy March mentality of I want to be great or nothing. It's like, I'm not able to really like half-ass things. And so I feel like having a job that I don't like just like does like it. I wish that I could, because I feel like I have so many friends who are like, oh yeah, I go to work and I get paid a big chunk of money because I do this sort of like whatever job that isn't that stressful, and then I get to go and have all of this money and do fun things with the rest of my life. And I'm like, actually, I'm not able to do that. I will have to take the job that pays no money that I do like and work it all hours of the day and night. And that is, that's just how my brain works. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I am the, what is my title now? Senior editor of movies and entertainment at Parade Magazine currently. So nice. watch movies and TV shows and write about them and edit stuff about them and do interviews and
yeah, you've been doing a lot more interviews. I've also been like, yes. You don't pop up a lot because a lot of the edits are like, you know, just the responses. But oh my gosh, your hair is looking great. I saw you in the clip today. Thank you. I was like, oh wow, look at that. It's like a full mop. Like, I love
it. I know. The hair is good. Well, I finally figured out like the correct products for the curls. Yes. Which, so that's good. And then now that I don't have cancer anymore, that also has helped my hair. Yeah. There, it's like, it's so weird interviewing famous people for a lot of reasons, but you can think that you are like having a good looking day in real life as a normal person, and then it's like, oh, you're in this video and it's you sitting next to like Cate Blanchett, who's the most beautiful human in the world, but also like full glam and hair and makeup or whatever, and then it's just like me in like a slightly wrinkly button up. So I'm like, editors, you can like feel free to take me out of this video as possible. Like, I would love to be a disembodied voice. But yes, I am. The Tribeca Film Festival is going on this week, so I've been in the studio doing a bunch of interviews for that. And so the video producer, since we're interviewing groups of people, was like, okay, like, I think it's easier if like the group of people is sort of on our set, and then you are kind of like next to the camera interviewing them. And I thought, oh, thank goodness. Like wow, I won't be on any of these cameras. And then I get there that day and they're like, well, so we pull the camera out of the closet, like just so that it can aim at you because we thought it might be good to have that angle as well. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah. Like the perfect, wonderful. I'd love to be in the same shot as Lucy Liu. Like, thank you.
I love it. I'm always watching, waiting for you to pop up.
And I do. Yeah. So if you want to see all of those videos, you can follow Parade on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube, actually. There's a lot of people who are on YouTube all the time, which I did not realize. It's a big
market. Platform. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's YouTube Shorts, which is basically TikTok and like better than Reels, apparently. Yeah. Again, it's very, I don't know this, but did we answer all
that? Was a good one. Next practical question. Do our families listen to the podcast? Do your siblings listen at all?
I don't think so. I have some friends who listen. And originally I had a couple of cousins who would listen, but I do fear that we have parted ways politically, and I don't think that they particularly love our slant on things as you and I have gotten more liberal as time has gone on. So I don't think they're listening anymore. Yeah, I have a couple of friends who will sometimes text me about different things, but I think for the most part it's people who I don't know, at least.
I would say like a couple of my siblings will listen. My mom listens. Rob, my husband, will listen sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it. I don't even think, like, I doubt my extended family listens. I don't know if friends, I don't know if friends listen. I really feel like it's just this black hole. Like, I am not aware of people being aware of it, you know? And so every now and then people be like, what, you have a podcast? And then they'll like text me and be like, oh, I listened to this. And then I never hear them mention it again. So it's a don't ask, don't tell policy for me. Like, I'm just like, if you stopped listening, that's fine. If you're still listening, I don't need to know. I don't know. Do you? I don't know.
I feel like I think we talked about this at one point, but somebody or another who I follow on Twitter, who's like another journalist-y kind of person, was like, if your friends are not reading your articles and listen to your podcast, like, they're not your real friends. Yeah. They need to be supporting your work. And I'm like, my friends do not need to listen to this. I'm like, if they want to and they like to, like, great, perfect. But if you listen to one episode and we're like, no, I'm good, or you were like, I actually don't want to listen to this ever, that is perfectly fine with me. And so I feel like it's not that I don't bring it up a lot, but it's like, I feel like if you bring it up to a friend, like, oh, I was on my podcast when I said this, then they get awkward because they're like, I didn't listen to it. And I'm like, that was not my intent at all. Yeah. I was not trying to like name drop this to get you to listen to it. Imagine? Usually I feel like how it comes up in conversation is I'll be talking about you and they'll be like, who's that? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, the girl I do the podcast with. And they're like, you have a podcast? And like, the whole thing.
It's like,
yes,
deep,
and we've been doing it for 7 years. Yeah. We have 300 episodes that you can go and listen to. Yes, it should exactly. You choose. You can watch a slowly convert from a Republican straight man a Mormon girl.
Wait, you were to,
I mean, I don't. I guess I probably wasn't Republican when I started the podcast.
Yeah.
I think I was probably a quote-unquote independent when we started the podcast. Okay, okay. I definitely was a Republican at one point, but I did not vote for Donald Trump. Like that, I was off the ship by that point.
Okay, look at that. Too recent. Yeah. Okay, well, this was a fun one. Someone asked, what is our sun, moon, and rising with movies? Which is astrology, which I had to look up. But
yes,
for a lot of people were mad at anyone trying to water this down because it's like so complex and it means a lot to people who believe in astrology. But the general idea is your sun is your core constant self. Your moon is your inner self and what makes you feel your emotional needs, like what makes you feel at home. And then your rising is how others perceive you, like your public self, your outward persona. Is that generally right? Okay.
Yes, okay. That is correct, I would say.
So, Matt, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time thinking about this because I felt like, okay, should I just be picking like movies that I feel like link up to these aspects of my personality or like my sign? So like my sun is a Sagittarius and my moon and rising are both Cancer. So I was trying to think, should I just like, what are the most Sagittarius and Cancer movies that I know? But I opted out of that.
Okay.
And I, there's another question that we'll get to later that we had to prep for of like our 10 favorite movies of all time. And so I was like, okay, let me pick from this list that I put together because I think that, the movies that are my favorite are movies that embody my personality to a certain degree. So what I settled on is that my son is Harriet the Spy, which I do think that movie just like encompasses sort of like everything about me and my essence to like such a core deep level. Like, and I think the fact that I watched it when I was a child and like based so much of my life around it to a certain degree, like really just like, I think that there's just like a connection to there to me is like a person to my personhood in general. Then I feel like, so my moon is Cancer, which is a much more emotional sign. And I think that the version of me that sort of like is out in the world is much more like I'm an extrovert and fun. And like, I try not to like take things too seriously. I'm very optimistic, but I do think like my inner self is much more sort of like moody English major poet kind of vibe. Like, I'm not a poet, but you know, like that kind of energy. And I don't necessarily show that off a lot. So for my moon sign, I picked The Hours, which is another movie that I love, but, and it's very like literary and very like, you know, emotional and also very lesbian, which I feel like is, my moon sign is like, that's why I love them so much. So I picked The Hours for that. And then for my rising sign, which is how people receive me, I picked You've Got Mail, which I think it's very New York. It's very bookish. It's like fun and funny and like, I don't know, a very just like rewatchable movie. Yeah. And so I felt like that, I felt like of the movies that I had listed as my favorites, that was the one that I was like, okay, I think most people probably perceive me in that,
I love that
way of like Meg Ryan walking around with a tote bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I like that. That's really good. And Tom Hanks complaining about coffee. Like, I think this makes
sense. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's just enough sort of griping going on in You've Got Mail, which I think also speaks to me as a person, you know?
No, that's good.
They're mad at the system. They're fed up with the big corporations, you know?
But they still...
She has the line of, like, I could never date someone with a boat, which I feel very strongly.
Great movie. I've got to rewatch that. Okay, I do not know my... I don't know this for me personally, like the actual astrology signs of mine. So for movies, it was an interesting exercise. I think I did okay. So for my son, I settled on Little Women, specifically Greta Gerwig's version, because I think, you know, thinking of my constant self, like it is just like rooted in sisterhood and in this trying to fit into a world that doesn't really have a place for you. And I think Jo is actually like really caring of her sisters, and yet she's often perceived as sort of this selfish, like self-centered person. But in actuality, she's constantly concerned for her, the people around her. I really like that.
You are also actually a Jo. I feel like so many people think that they're a Jo, and I'm like, no, you are a Jo like through and through.
Thank you.
Makes sense that I'm an Amy and you're a Jo. So.
It works out. And then Moon, I think Arrival, but starring Amy Adams, because one, I love that movie, but two, it really captures that like that sort of morose place I tend to exist, and that emotional need of people to recognize that life can be hard, but that doesn't mean it can't, you know, bring purpose and be beautiful, and sort of wanting to understand and listen and hear people out and learn this language of humanity. But on top of that, I just like, it really sticks with me as sort of that place where I feel like she realizes she'll lose her daughter, but she still wants to have her daughter. And I think that whole journey and that psychology there is something that rings really true to me. So that was my Moon. And then my rising of how people see me, I think, is going to be Jurassic Park, in that there is like depth to it, but it's also punchy, and it's also like aggressive, and there's a general tension where you're having fun, but also you're a little scared. And I think that is how people feel me. So they're like, is she nice or is she a bitch? And that's kind of how I'm seen. But then in the end, I'm just a good time. You know, everyone, if you don't love Jurassic Park, then it's like, what are you doing? So that's
right. I mean, like, you were obviously going to shoehorn Jurassic Park into one of those three slots, and I do feel like it makes the most sense here. I feel like your rising, like, if I was to pick a movie for your rising, it would be something that would be like a little bit like slicker than that.
I respect that. Yeah,
like not necessarily like The Devil Wears Prada, but I feel like something like that has a little bit more sort of like bite to it in a regard. But I guess Jurassic Park has a lot of bite to it. You know, there's a lot of teeth. So,
Okay. So Sarah Minkay asked, what is your favorite movie that you've covered on the pod in actual episodes?
I feel like this is such an easy question, and it's Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Like I just, like, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. I almost put it on the top 10 list. I think, like, give me another 5 years and that might be on my top 10 list of movies. It's just, like, too new for me to sort of feel like I should put it in there. It was our favorite movie of that year. It's just so good. And also, I feel like we don't end up actually covering that many movies that are like that. Because we didn't do an episode on Challengers, I don't think. Did we?
No, we did. Because that was mine.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm like, so yeah. So that I guess is like maybe, but I like Everything Everywhere All at Once more than I like Challengers. But yeah, it's like I feel like we don't often cover stuff that I'm like, oh, this is my favorites ever.
Very
And
rarely.
That was, yes.
Mm-hmm. No, the stars aligned for that one for sure. I think that was... I had sort of a weird experience with Everything Everywhere, where it just like it reminded me I needed therapy. So there's sort of like a sourness to that. But so that's why I ended up choosing Challengers, because that movie is so fun and talking about it was fun. And I think it was like an interesting moment, but both good options in a series of pretty bad options. Generally.
Yes.
Speaking.
Yeah. No, luckily I was already in therapy by the time I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I was just sobbing the whole time, but in a good way.
Yeah. Charlotte Goddard asks, is there any reality TV you still watch?
Yes. I mean, I watch a lot of reality TV, I feel like. I feel like you've lost interest
in like Big Brother and
I watch The Traitors. I watch RuPaul's Drag Race. I watch The Real Housewives. Some of them I watch.
Okay.
And I will say I have stopped watching Survivor in recent years, but the 50th season is coming up, which I definitely want to watch. Mm-hmm. So I am going to make a concerted effort, like starting this summer when I get back from vacation, to catch up on the seasons. I'm only like 3 or 4 seasons behind, maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm going to catch up and watch those before the 50th one comes out. I love Survivor, and I think it is one of the best TV shows of all time. And I will always be a fan, and I will always watch every season. But this happened to me once, like, I don't know, maybe in like the 20s or 30s of the seasons, where I just kind of like had a lot of it and needed to take a break.
Yeah. Lauren Herba asked, now that your career's taken off and you have all these media connections, when are you going on Survivor?
So I've actually thought about this, and people have talked to me about this. Mm-hmm. I think that the coming out / cancer narratives could really help me in a casting process.
Yeah.
And while I don't have cancer currently, I am still dealing with like sort of residual health issues from that. So I think once everything is cleared up and I feel like 100% back to normal, then I will sort of apply again and see if that helps me at all. Unfortunately, I think having like entertainment connections to PR people does not actually help you get on the show, because casting is a completely different beast.
Yeah, but they've got it. You know, people who know people, you got to just like, you know?
Yeah. So, you know? But you know, I will give it a go. I still think I would be a fun person to be on.
Wait, so Survivor. How many times have you applied?
Oh gosh. I don't like dozen.
Oh,
like
really?
A lot. When I turned 18, I applied for the first time, and I applied every single year, multiple times a year for, you know, I don't know however long it's been. I didn't apply the last couple of years, and during COVID or whatever, I don't know if I applied either. But
did you, are these like video applications? Can you release?
Yes, these are video applications. And no, I think I like,
you have to send it to
here's the other thing that I think is sort of interesting looking back in hindsight. I used to like audition, and I would put together this video, but obviously like I didn't know who I even was at that point, so I would sort of like pick an angle of be like, oh, I'm gonna try to be like the Christian person, or I'm gonna try to be the whatever, and I would watch the videos and I'd be like, this is so awkward, like I just hated filming them, I hated doing them, I felt so like uncomfortable, and I'm certain that they were bad and that people watching them were like absolutely not. So truly the moment that I finished filming them and submitted them, I would like delete them, because I was like, I don't need anybody to see this. So I think that speaks to the point of the, like, I probably was not ready to be on reality TV at that point. I feel much more secure in myself now, I think.
You.
So I feel like I would fare better and would perhaps not immediately delete.
You know,
my
what? Next time
video.
I'm in New York, I'll help you film your audition tape. Okay, we'll do a whole New York tour as the as the queer cancer survivor.
Yes, queer cancer survivor. We can try to figure out how to put that in 2 minutes or whatever, how much time you have.
Okay, so Alice Mommy asked, what podcast episode was the most fun to record?
I feel like we have the same answer for this, but do you want to go?
Okay, I was tied between two. I think there's another question that was like, what episode do you remember the most and why? But the one I wrote for the most fun is anytime Ashley was on to talk about Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes. Those were good. I forgot about that.
Was it Lover or was it Folklore?
Whichever one she talked about the blowjobs.
Yeah.
Right. Was like, oh, it's the blowjobs or whatever. And it was like, and it was, and you and I were both just like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I am not getting this at all. No, those were great. Those were fun. And honestly, we never have guests on anymore because it's like, it's too much.
We're not organized enough. Yeah.
Right. We're not. We're like figuring out day of what we're doing. But I'm like, if whenever Taylor Swift releases another album, like we're going to have to actually get Ashley back on just as a, you know, refire up the Swiftish Instagram account. Like, post that the reunion is happening.
I think that's where we get a lot of our listeners is from the Swiftish crossover. So,
yeah,
and I'm surprised they've stuck around here. But that does lead me to another question, which is, or wait, no, what was your favorite?
Oh, well, I was gonna say the famous 5 feet apart captive state double episode, because I think that's just a classic. And both of those movies are so bad, and I hated Captive State so much, and 5 feet apart was so goofy that I think we were just like cackling the entire time,
and I was like sobbing in the movie theater, and I couldn't process that, so I had to like walk through it with you. That was such a good episode. And what's crazy is that's like from our first year, I think, like honestly. I had to scroll very far back to find that.
It speaks to the fact that we should do more double episodes, I guess, because like, and that was definitely one of those weeks, like in January or whatever, where there was nothing coming out. And we were like, okay, I guess let's do like both of these bad movies that no one will watch. And also Captive State has zero cultural cachet. Like, absolutely none. 5 feet apart, people will still like know and talk about. Captive State, like if you asked 100 people on the street if they had ever heard of that movie, 99.5 of them would be like, no.
I mean, it's great for Cinematrix when you need like a random, who is it, John Goodman? Is that his full name?
Yes, yeah. John Goodman, yes. And Vera Farmiga is definitely in that as well. I remember that.
That got me a 1% answer once. So thank you to this podcast for keeping me aware of movies no one needs to know about. But I still enjoyed that one, you know? And that's what made the podcast fun, I think, is kind of these quirky, unhinged moments. But going back to Taylor Swift, I had a couple questions come in to ask. One, if my opinion on Tortured Poets Department has changed, because they said I gave an unfair shake to it, which I re-listened to that episode, and I think I was very fair in that episode. I was like, I was pretty generous with Taylor's intentions and how some of the songs are good. It was just like long and bloated. And so, no, my opinion hasn't changed. I still think that. I think that album has some great songs on it, like great songwriting, but it's still one of her weakest albums. And that is not tied up in my opinions of Taylor Swift as a person and politics or whatever. That is just that 32 track album is too big and too repetitive.
There's 32 tracks on it. Did we do an episode? Did I have to listen to all
of them? Yeah, you did. You did. You had a rough time with it. You were very shady. And I think some of that shadiness people associated with me unfairly. Because the other question was, where do I stand on Taylor and do I still enjoy her music? And I want to reassure the people that I do, in fact, still enjoy her music. I think it's just like one of those interesting pieces where it's like such a big part of me, like that's just like my childhood, my adulthood was soundtracked by Taylor Swift's songs, so there's always gonna be like, I just love the music, I know it so well. I think some of those albums are so good. And so it's not that I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate her now, I can never enjoy her music again. I haven't had to draw that line in the sand because her circle of harm isn't necessarily to that point for me personally yet. And yeah, I'm excited to see what she does next. I think it'll be interesting because there are a lot of, we talked in the Tortured Poets episode about, you're like, well, clearly she doesn't want to lay low because she has these two other re-recordings coming and she's probably already going to turn out something else. And so it'll be interesting to see like what she actually does do next, because she has kept this low profile, but also been more normal about being out with Travis Kelce and whatnot. So yeah, I'm kind of like, I wonder what she will do. Like, will she do pop? Will she do indie? Will she kind of just not fade away, obviously, but like what is she working on, if not these re-recordings at this point? So I am excited. Like, I'll definitely listen to whatever she comes out with. And yes, I do listen to Tortured Poets Department songs, but I have my own like abridged version that I go to. And yeah, I think those are all the Taylor questions.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what she does, just because obviously the Eras tour was such a big deal and there was so much that was sort of worked up into that. And I think that that has spawned a lot of people doing similar type, you know, tours and things and focused on stuff. But I also do wonder if, in my mind, I really think that the world of music, it's like there's Beyonce and there's Taylor Swift, and then there's a whole second tier of people.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Taylor isn't looking at Beyonce and sort of seeing the like this like three act structure, and the fact that there's like more, like she's doing these different genres, and that there's more of like an intention behind stuff, and not necessarily copying that, but just kind of as she moves into whatever the next phase is, especially now that she doesn't have to deal with these like re-recordings, that she might try for something that's like, okay, let's do a big project of some kind that is more than just like, oh, here's my next album.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It will be interesting.
Okay. Lidbell asks, who would play you in a movie?
Who would play me in a movie? Ideally, I think I would be played, like the like narcissist answer for me is that like Logan Lerman would play me in a movie.
Of course.
I love him. I think he's a very good actor. I feel like we look similar enough-ish and are the same age that like, yeah, he would be like the hotter version of me. I do think that we'd probably need somebody like actually more gay and annoying to play me. So I don't like, I shudder to think of like, of like Noah Galvin having to play me in a movie, but I feel like if it like was actual casting, that's probably who we would get.
Yeah.
So, you know, sadly.
I think I settled on Dakota Johnson. People say we have a lot of the same energy. I think it would be a glow up for me personally, but I would welcome it. Yeah.
I would also say that Aubrey Plaza, I feel like, is an option on the table for you, just based on the fact that her White Lotus character every week reminded me of you, that I'm like, oh, okay, I think that could be an easy sell as well. Yeah,
honestly, I don't get a lot of like celebrity lookalikes until someone is a bitch, and then they're like, oh my gosh, you remind me of Aubrey Plaza.
And there you go. You just have such a deadpan delivery for things, I think. Yeah. And both Dakota Johnson and Aubrey Plaza are like people who don't seem like they suffer fools well, and also are like very deadpan.
Yeah. No, it's fair. Okay. Allison mentioned, a couple people mentioned that they like when we talk about books.
Okay.
And so Allison asked, top three books you're currently recommending.
Oh gosh, currently recommending. I mean, I think it's, I used to read so much current stuff when I worked in book publishing. And I feel like I don't read as much now as I used to. Yes, we still do our book club, but that's gotten a little bit more sporadic. Yeah. Like, we don't always meet every month. We just read Long Island Compromise a couple of months ago, which I really liked. And I would recommend that. I feel like my go-to book recommendation is always The Secret History by Donna Tartt. I think that is, like, have you read that?
No, you recommended it. I tried. I could not get into it. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, whatever. A lot of people who I've recommended that to have really liked it. So
niche. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my go-to recommendation. What else did I... have I read recently? I read Norwegian Wood by Murakami, which I really loved. That was when I went to Japan, though. So that was, what, like 2 years ago?
Yeah. Well, another question was...
anything Stephen King?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Another question was, have you ever recommended something that I then, like, actually followed through and watched and enjoyed? And one of those, I think I'm better at that than you. You don't take my recommendations. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I read How to Drive Your Plow Through and
I loved that. Did you like that?
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good book. So you did recommend that book, and that was a good recommendation. Also,
I was going to say the hard thing about recommendations for me in movies or books is just I already have so many things that I want to read or want to watch, and I sort of know my taste really well. And so I feel like if someone recommends something, and like I kind of it's usually either something that I already was interested in which case I would have read it or watched it either way, or it's something that I like
not fully interested in, so why, like,
so I'm kind of like, okay, like, you know, whatever. And yeah, it's just I'm like, if I had unlimited time, I would be sitting around taking all kinds of recommendations because I love reading books and I love watching movies, and I really would do that for the rest of eternity and be thrilled. But it's like, you know, if you're only reading a certain amount of books a year, and it's like, okay, I know there's a bunch of authors that I like, and I like going back and reading stuff that they wrote and whatnot. Yeah. That I don't know.
Yeah, my go-to recs have been James by Percival Everett, which I think
And that I really do want to read.
Oh, you haven't read it yet?
Oh my God. But that's on my list. Okay. That I keep trying to convince my book club to read, and they're like, it's too hoity-toity.
It's not at all. It's actually very, like... quick, punchy, funny. I mean, it's not hoity-toity in any... Okay, you know what? I recommend that to you and your book club, and now it's your responsibility to actually take one of my recommendations.
So okay, I mean, I will try.
It's short.
I've read things based off of your recommendations before.
I'm sure. One thing, probably. And then the other book, actually, is Yoke by Mary Cho, which is about sisters in New York who are like estranged sisters, but then they are sort of forced together when one of them uses the other's insurance without letting them know, like pretending. Very good. Oh, actually it's a cancer book, so you might
maybe I would or maybe I wouldn't. It's very unclear.
Yeah, I've been recommending that one because I just like loved it. It's very... yeah, they're not necessarily the best sisters, but there's like a specific brand of sisterhood that I just love. So that's a good one. Okay, should we do our top 10 movies?
Yes, I think that's good.
Yeah,
I'm ready for that.
Because you and I, you inspired me to do this too. But you, like, probably before this podcast, did a ranking of 100 of your favorite movies. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I looked
for
this, and I was like, oh, wow, Shelby, that was some pick-me energy affecting some of these choices, I think.
Well, I do feel like when we did that, like, that was when I thought that I was a movie person, but was not actually a movie person.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that was pre-Movie Pass, even, where I maybe saw, like 30 new movies a year, which is a lot in comparison to most people, but now I'm like watching 200 new movies a year, and I just feel like I have so much more like breadth of understanding of like what film can be and do, that it is interesting. But for this, like, I think favorite,
it's tough,
is so, it's so hard because I feel like there's obviously lots of good movies that have come out recently, you know, such as Challengers, such as Everything Everywhere All at Once, such as Poor Things for me, even though you hated it and it broke my heart. that I did really love, but it's hard for me to like I don't have that same emotional connection to those as to things that are older.
Well, and I was thinking, so, it's interesting because you're not someone who rewatches stuff. So it's like, have you rewatched Everything Everywhere All at Once?
So, yes, I have. And that, I think, really is the true sign that I do really like these movies. Like, I've seen Challengers 3 times. I think I've seen Everything Everywhere All at Once also 3 times. So it's like, if I'm rewatching something, I really do like it. But I think that, again, so there's like movies that I watched when I was younger that I watched a lot. So it's like those are more in my zeitgeist. And also they just have more like emotional connection, for sure. I think.
Okay, we'll run it through it. Run us
through okay. It. Well, I did math and I actually have 48. Yeah. No. So what I did is I did not go back and look at those 100 movies because I would have had to scroll so far back in my Instagram archive. And I was like, I actually can't.
Not interested.
I can't be bothered to do that. But I went on my Letterboxd, which has, I transferred over all of my IMDb ratings and stuff. So it has all of my old movies on there that I liked. And I went through all my 5 stars and I was like, okay, what on this would theoretically be in my top 10? And I made a list of all of those, which was around like 25 movies. And then I was like, okay, let's like trim the fat. And I got it down to 13. And then of these 13, I really did not feel like there was any, like,
you couldn't cut.
I felt like they were all sort of on the same tier. Like, there wasn't, like, there's not any of these that I think are necessarily better than others or worse than others. They're just like, this is like a lumping of movies in my mind that are like seminal texts for me as a person. And I've probably talked about them all on the podcast at some point or another, but they are Ocean's 11, Big Fat Liar, The Talented Mr. Ripley, Tangerine, Scream, the original, Fargo, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, V for Vendetta, Clue, You've Got Mail, The Hours, Harriet the Spy, and Dreamgirls.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know about Dreamgirls or what was the one I gasped at?
Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
Fargo?
Yeah, Ferris Bueller. I'm surprised by that.
I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I think it's so funny. And it's also just, like, that I also thought about putting for my, like, for my rising. Yeah. Just because it's such, like, or I guess maybe that would even be more of my, like, sun. It's, like, such a Sagittarius movie of, like, yeah, we're just going to, like, go on an adventure and we're going to hang out and we're going to do fun things. And also it's set in Chicago. And so I feel like it's very, like, growing up, we would go to Chicago, and I always thought about that movie, and I really liked that. And then, yeah, Dreamgirls, like, I think if I am on a plane and Dreamgirls is an option, I will watch it every single time. Oh, like, I have seen that movie probably more recently than any of these other movies, just because the music is so good. I love Beyonce. I listen to it. Like, I really, I think Dreamgirls is such a good musical, and the performances in that are all really great. Like, Eddie Murphy's so good in that.
Rob loves it. So I don't know if you guys have ever talked about this.
We definitely have, because we had the conversation about the song, what's the name of it? Where they're all, it's the one right before, Jennifer Hudson's big number, where she's like, you've lied, I never been so thin. And we were talking about that and how funny that song is, where they're all like, you're fat, and it's like, well, she's pregnant.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, that's,
yeah,
That's so far down my list that that's a source of contention for me and Rob. So I'm processing. I'm coming to terms with this. But everyone in my life loves Dreamgirls, I guess. So, wow, might have to revisit that. Okay,
it's a great movie.
So I struggled too, but I generally went with like gut reactions. Like these are the tried and true. I could always watch these. So we have Jurassic Park, Ever After, starring Drew Barrymore, iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Deep Impact, always makes me cry. Little Women, because I think that is like, that's I think one of the most recent ones because I just think it was so perfectly done. The Mummy with Brendan Fraser,
yeah,
which is just 10 out of 10. Lord of the Rings is always a favorite. I probably
like all three of them.
If I had to pick one, it would be Two Towers. Wait. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Two Towers. And then First Wives Club.
Oh, yes.
Fury.
Which I famously thought about was about President's Wives, yes, until I watched it. No,
even better. Fury Road.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And Arrival. And okay. Then Steel Magnolias.
Oh, I've never watched that.
Oh, I think you'd love it. I think that is exactly your shit. Like, I think...
Yes, no.
Divas all around. It's like in the South, you would love it. It's so good. All the performances, spectacular. And one of the characters is named Shelby. So, hello.
There we go.
There it is. So, yeah. Okay, we're talking too much as per usual. So, let me see some of these that are... Oh, this is an important one. Roger okay. Obed asked... Why doesn't Matt post any pictures with Shelby?
Why don't I post any pictures? I feel like I do, don't I? I feel like if I see you, presence. We post a picture.
I don't know. I just think the people want more of that. So
interesting. I'm like, I'm pretty sure. Like,
TBT. I'm like, yeah.
Let me go back to my when I was in California. I'm pretty sure you're in that dump somewhere. No,
yeah, probably somewhere in that dump. Even the words you use. Okay, and then friend of the pod, Marin Polo asks, if you were on a movie set, what do you think your job would be? Like most likely, like costume, makeup, producer, script?
I feel like I would obviously be the writer. Like I think that makes the most sense to me. Like that is the only thing that I would be doing on a movie set that I have any skills whatsoever in. Like, yeah. I don't think I'm that good of an actor. I think if it was like a comedy and it was sort of like improv-y, like I could maybe do that.
You could be in the improv troupe in Overcompensating. Like, I think you could pull off that role.
Yes. Yeah. No. No, I think like Overcompensating is the exact type of thing that I could be an actor in. Yeah. Like, I think I could be sort of like some zany college student that's like annoying.
Good background. Yeah.
But like, I don't think that I'm a good enough actor. Like, I don't think that I could just be in a regular movie as a regular person. Right. I think I would have to be kind of a weird character to be an actor.
I think I could be an excellent producer. So
yeah, I think you would be good at that. I think I could probably be like a PA or something if need be.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely couldn't do costumes. I definitely couldn't do makeup.
Or like the boom mic guy.
Maybe.
You got the boom mic guy.
I could hold a boom mic. I feel like all of those kinds of jobs are so like fixer uppery kind of people. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, like it's a handy person who can sort of like get in there and you know, change a tire or what, like my uncle is one of, like, I have an uncle who's one of those people who's like, oh, like the microwave's not working, like, oh yeah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that would never occur to me to do. I'm like, oh, the microwave is broken, time to get a new microwave. Like, I'm not a tinkerer. And I think so many of those film jobs require a lot of like problem solving and just being like, okay, yeah, we got to figure out how to fix this and do this on the fly.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I think we could do Foley artistry.
What That'd is that?
Fun. Like making the sounds, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We could do that. Crunch up some chips and figure out how to make it sound like you're being shot in the face. You know, it's just interesting. That'd be a good hobby. I think I'd do a class on that. It seems fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a favorite Glee cover? Did you watch Glee?
Oh. I watched the first... I think I watched the first half of the first season of Glee. It was not a Glee. Oh, I will say some... I know, it's surprising. I watched the first half of the first season, and then I feel like it's thought it got too crazy, sort of.
Within six episodes, you clocked it. You were like, you know what? This is off the rails already.
I don't know. I just didn't... I remember watching... because how they dropped Glee, I don't know if people remember this, is like in the spring after American Idol, they released like the first episode of Glee for the first season. And then they did not release the actual like first season until the fall. Like you had to wait like months in between. And so I remember watching the first episode and being like, wait, I love this. And it was what? The Journey song, and then that was it. Mercy was the other one that they released. There was like two songs that came from that, and I listened to probably one of those, because I listened to both of those a ton. And then I feel like when the actual show came out, I watched like through the mid season break or whatever, and they released that section of episodes on DVD. Yeah. And so I bought that. So I have the first half of the first season of Glee on DVD. And then when the second half of the season came out, I don't know why I didn't watch it, but I didn't. And then I've never gone back. I have seen like clips and stuff. Like I know the CeeLo Green, like the Gwyneth Paltrow singing the CeeLo Green song.
Yeah.
I know that somebody or another sang Let's Have a Kiki at some point. But I don't have a favorite Glee cover. Oh, you know what other Glee song I know is the like River Deep Mountain High, the Tina Turner one, but I only know that because of the TikTok dance.
Oh yeah. My favorite is Teenage Dream by Darren Criss. That's a good cover. Like honestly.
Okay.
An excellent song. And he does a fun cover. So if you want to get back into Glee, Glee's a bad show. I'm sorry to Marin for hating on it, but I did like that song. I gave up on Glee probably season 3.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't foresee myself going back and watching all of Glee. I feel like that's a real dark timeline if I'm doing that.
That would be a bad sign. Okay. Did I have another one that you prepped for? I don't want to miss those.
I don't think so. I think that was most of them.
Okay.
So
then should we just do a couple more?
Yeah, let's just do a couple more.
Okay, perfect. What is your favorite win at the Oscars? Like what made you the happiest in that you
What's my favorite win at the Oscars? You know, I think that the most fun wins at the Oscars are ones where you don't think that the thing is going to win. Like I would say like, Everything Everywhere All at Once is a great win at the Oscars. But I feel like by the time that the Oscars came around, we sort of guessed that that was going to happen mostly.
My favorite was when the Godzilla Minus One crew won, and they all got their little Godzillas on stage. That was like so cute and so fun, and like really what the Oscars are about for me. So that was my pick. Just to give you time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who it was really shocking when they won, and like honestly the Olivia Colman when she won for The Favorite and beat Glenn Close, like that, and then gave that incredible speech. Yeah. Like that was a great win because nobody really expected that to happen. And Glenn Close, that movie was so bad. I mean, I do feel bad for her. Like, I think that she does, like, she is very good in things and should probably have an Oscar, but I think that Olivia Colman was a great one.
Yeah. Okay, and then are we ever going to have guests on the pod again? You know what? I don't know if that's an insult that people are like, please,
maybe
bring someone else on. I'm sick of y'all. but we should.
Occasionally people who have been on the podcast before will be like, oh, like, how come you haven't invited me on in a while? Yeah. And I'm like, well, if you listened, you would actually know that we have not had anyone on in quite some time.
I know.
So this really is not an insult to you. It's not that you were bad as a podcast guest. It was mostly that we are lazy.
We're lazy. Yeah, we're not good planners, as you can clearly hear every Thursday when we're like, what are we doing next week?
Right. Yeah.
And then we inevitably choose something else anyways.
Yes.
Okay. So then we're coming to the end of questions. Oh, okay. This is a good one. Future focus. Okay. Who is your favorite up and coming actor / S? Do you have someone you think you're ready for a breakthrough?
Up and coming actor.
I also don't know who counts as like up and coming, like,
right? Because the first name that popped to my mind was Lewis Pullman, because I do think that it has been good in a lot of things, but I'm like, he was just in Thunderbolts, so maybe he's not actually up and coming.
You know, I'll accept that because I still didn't know his name when you said it. I had to Google him, so that's a good pick. I thought Kayla Monteroso.
Oh yes, that's actually a great answer.
Anytime she was in up, I'm like, oh yes, I love her.
Because and you know what, now that I'm thinking about the studio, she's in the studio, but is it Dwayne Perkins, the who's in the studio and then is also he's the hairdresser in One of Them Days. He is the person who wrote and starred in The Blackening, which I saw a couple of years ago, which I really loved. And he's great. So I think that's a good answer. Because he's been doing like bit parts and things, and I really do like him. I think he's very funny.
That's a good reminder to watch. Why do I always want to call it The Rehearsal?
Because that's another show.
That's another show. The producer.
There's so many, like, the Regime, the Diplomat. There's a whole bunch of those that I'm like, which, the Residence. I'm like, I don't know, like, Kate Winslet is in one of these, but I don't know which one it is. Yeah,
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll have to keep our eyes peeled for them in things, but that's it. I mean, we went over an hour. I mean, anything else? Do you have any questions for me?
I mean, no one has submitted anything to me, not that I'm aware of. I feel like we know each other pretty well at this point. It's shocking to me that we have done this for 300 episodes going on 7 years. I don't think that if you had told me that this would happen and that we would somehow work through a pandemic and like me, like you having a baby, you moving, me getting cancer. Like we've gone through a lot. And I sort of feel like at this point, unless something real funky happened, we'll probably just be continuing to do this for a while. There was a point back last year where I was interviewing for a job that was in Los Angeles, and I didn't want to tell you guys about it because I was like, okay, I don't want to like make this a big deal if it doesn't end up happening, which it didn't. But I had the thought when that was happening, I was like, I sort of think that the thing that might actually end the podcast is if I moved to LA or you moved to New York. I think if we lived in the same place and we could just hang out and in person, that we would probably just hang out and not, and we'd be too lazy to like get the mics and, you know, so do that whole bit. We would just be like, no, we're just going to get dinner.
That would be.
But I think as long as we live on separate sides of the country, we'll probably keep it up.
Yeah. God provides, you know, that's great. That's a great perspective. Separate, but together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Separate but equal, as they say.
No, but it's been great. And I've obviously loved doing this. I hope to do it forever. Someone did ask why we don't read reviews anymore. And I just want to say it's because no one's left new reviews since we got to our 100 mark. So if people want to leave reviews, then yeah.
Is that true? Then I have not looked. And it was also the period where we hadn't checked our email for like 2 years. So it's like, honestly, if you want me to do something or say something, you need to DM me on Instagram. Yeah. Like that is how to get in contact with me.
And he might see it and respond. So
yes, I respond to most of my Instagram DMs. Yeah. I guess every now and again, like obviously I get spammy ones, and sometimes like a random person will reply to my story and just be like crazy or something. I'm like, I don't know who this is. Like, sorry, I don't know what's going on here. But if you send me like a question or something, I will.
He loves to gab. So that's what this podcast should
prove. I do. So I love to chit chat. Yeah. So
and yeah, and then we're at. On Instagram at PS You're Wrong, and I run that one. So you can reach me there.
Yes.
And maybe I'll remember to check the email, but no promises, honestly.
Yeah.
This is.
Yeah. I'm like, we'll check it maybe for the 400th episode or, you know, whatever.
This is where we're at. And if you've still been listening this long, then I think you know and accept that. So yeah, that's just where we are.
Yeah. We're about to go on hiatus for a bit because I am going on vacation. So we'll be gone until after the 4th of July. And then after that, we'll pick back up sometime in July. So we have a couple weeks off.
Yeah, I'll survive. I'll find someone else to talk to.
I mean, you can just reply to all my vacation Instagrams. I'm going to be over in Europe by myself. So we'll send me a voice memo. I'll respond.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good.
But anyways, thanks everyone for listening to 300 episodes. I assume you've listened to them all and have taken meticulous notes. Mm-hmm, it's been a joy and a pleasure to do this for so long. Yeah. And thank you for listening to us for some sort of reason, unclear why. Mm-hmm. And we will be back in a month or so.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Right. And good night.
Good night and good luck. Bye.